The House will now have under consideration House Bill 135 as amended. Debate is closed. Loud lady from 35.
Oh, darn it. Mr. Speaker and ladies and gentlemen of the House, House Bill 135 is before us. I need unanimous consent from the Speaker to not further read it.
Without objection, the lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's one of the several proposals sent out of the House Transportation Committee with no recommendation to the amending order to offer the House of Representatives the opportunity to speak for the people they represent in some choices on gas tax increases. Many members here have voiced their concern with raising taxes of any kind while we are about the state's business of making cuts in many agencies and services to balance our budget. When concerned for our transportation committee, we encountered the difficulty the department had answering some requests for information we needed last year. We as the transportation committee in the House as representatives of the people called us to have an audit. We were then aware of the need for technology upgrades and instituting better management plans to justify any requests for more tax dollars. JFAC has authorized spending of the department's dedicated and federal funds for these technological programs. Their budget of $508 million will cover that technology. And this is an increase from $495 million last year in their budget, as well as some of the falling costs in some areas have helped. There is $29 million in unexpended Garvey funds. Savings in efficiency by the Department of Transportation has accumulated $36 million. Stimulus funds have been allocated of $182 million. And the ethanol exclusion, which is being held in the Senate committee, netted $12 million for the Department of Transportation, which would cover the fee need increases requested for the Division of Motor Vehicles in their antiquated mainframe and computer programs that are truly a drain on the highway funds. House Bill 135 is a 2 cents a gallon tax. A gas tax increase. The best part of the bill is the installation in code in the bill of the Preservation, Maintenance, and Restoration Fund, restricting any new funds to be used for these purposes, and that would be for the both the state $10 million and the locals $7 million in round figures. One of the things the audit confirmed is that we were not spending judiciously, particularly in one area, that was maintenance and preservation and reconstruction of our best pavement. Though we recognize the part of the problem is trying to work without the recommended asset management software and pavement management plan that was abandoned when Garvey bonds were introduced for major construction, then we begin to see the deficient pavement spiral up from the low of 15% we had achieved. We were in the mode of saving the worst first. The House of Representatives is the people's house. The people have been talking to us all through the session. I don't know if they are growing weary, but we are. But House Bill 135 is asking, are they willing and ready to support a gas tax raise? Mr. Speaker, this bill is before the House for their vote.
Is there further debate?
Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from 18.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to House Bill 135 as amended. We've all heard the catchphrase, now is no time to raise taxes on Idaho families, and I believe that's true. But what I think is especially important to think about is when we raise user fees, we do that with the idea that people are going to pay for something that they use, and that's fair. But there's a second in tax policy, there's a second piece to that discussion that we're not thinking about. The reason user fees are supposed to be fair is because people are supposed to have the option not to use them. And when the only mode of transportation that nearly anyone has in the state of Idaho is to drive a car, then a user fee becomes, at least in the form of a gas tax, becomes unfair and inequitable. And while I tried hard last week to give something to this bill to make it so that I could support it, those efforts were rebuffed. Those efforts were intended to give user fees the fairness that they're supposed to have. They're supposed to give people another option to be able to commute, to be able to get to where they needed to go. And it was determined that that wasn't the direction that this body wanted to head, and I can respect that decision. But the fact of the matter is, if we're going to keep building roads and not offer anyone a chance to get to their destination through mass transit, we will have this will become a vicious cycle that we will never get out of. You can keep building and keep building and keep building, but we need a comprehensive solution. You know, we've talked, the gentleman in the Board of Buildings, chief of staff, came to a caucus meeting for the minority and talked about, you know, well, we didn't want to try any new ideas. We didn't want to do anything that's never been done before. That's what he said. Well, why not? I mean, why don't we want to try something innovative? Why don't we try to do something that we've never done before? This is a new century. Let's try to do something we haven't done this century and the way our fund our public or fund our transportation system. We need good ideas, not bad ideas. We need new ideas, not old ideas. And House Bill 135 has the latter, has neither, and that's why I ask you to oppose House Bill 135.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from 24.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the body. The gentleman from 18 made a reference to this bill as building new highways, but this doesn't build highways. This tries to fix highways that we already have. For the last 3 years, we have been hearing from experts in highway construction that we need to fix our roads. We need to maintain our roads. And the last 2 years have been concentrated between the administration, ITD, local highway districts, counties, cities. All of them have serious problems maintaining what they have. And we have stuck our head in the sands up to now. We have had multiple amendments that we debated in this body that could have done some significant work toward maintaining those roads, but we axed all those, and we're down to this 2 cents. Out of this 2 cents, ITD would get $10.6 million. The local roads would get $7 million. That's a pretty piddly amount, really. And the Idaho, what that would mean to the average Idahoan out there that drives 20,000 miles a year and gets about 20 miles per gallon on the car would be $1 extra in gasoline taxes at the end of each month. That won't even buy an ice cream cone, a softy maybe, but that's where we are. What this bill does do that is important is it creates a maintenance fund that we don't have now. It creates a maintenance fund that can only be used for maintenance and preservation of our highways, as far as the ITD is concerned. It gets that created, and it also directs ITD that before they can use any of those funds, they have to put in place a pavement management system. Those are two very important things that were stressed in our audit that all of you voted for. Cost us $450,000, and we said, we want to know. Okay, now we know. We're not putting much forward in the way of maintenance, but we are directing a PMS system in place, and at least it's a step forward. I have heard arguments from the balcony that the only ones that support this gas tax money are the contractors and the consultants. Well, whoever said that obviously didn't attend transportation meetings. We have heard from the mayors, We have heard from the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry, Intermountain Forest Association, and of course the Idaho Association of General Contractors, the AAA of Idaho, Idaho Association of Highway Districts, the Idaho Trucking Association, the Idaho Association of Cities, Idaho Association of Counties, the Coalition of Transportation, Compass, Milk Producers of Idaho, Food Producers of Idaho, Idaho Petroleum Marketers and Convenience Store Association, and others. You add all these up, and aren't they speaking for 90% of our population that says, fix our roads? I would urge your support for this piddly little bill. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Hearing none. Gentleman from 23.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was almost too late there. This is a user fee, and as a good gentleman from District 24 says, $1 a month for the average driver, I would think that's not really a very steep user fee. But if you have a job, if you eat food, if you buy whole goods, clothes, any all commerce depends on roads. And without good roads, we wouldn't have even a shopping center. You have to supply the goods. And this isn't enough money to build roads, but it does at least help fix a few potholes. I've broken tires, I've damaged my steering system, and that costs much more than the $12 a year I would have spent for the roads. I mean, hundreds of times more. And I guess, and I've also seen cases where the crumbling roads cause deaths. You hit a big pothole on a state highway or a county road and you lose control, run into another vehicle, and it has happened in our area. And I don't think we want to let our roads get that bad. And this maybe doesn't fix them all, but at least it'll help. Please vote yes.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from 33.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good ladies and gentlemen from the body. I want to publicly thank everybody that has participated in the committee and I've listened to a lot of excellent testimony and the good gentlemen and their staff and everything that they've done in helping us develop what is responsible and what is helpful. And in maintaining and protecting our highways, it has been argued that we have issues of keeping up. And the committee continues to examine this. And in doing so, we can have a better understanding on how our base, not only for our roads, but on how we're going to fund them, can be derived. This challenge that is before us will always be before us. It has been intended to, what we're trying to do is minimize try to get the perfume and have that exceed the foul of the raising taxes and have a negative drag on the economy. A long-term solution is what I would suggest, and a long-term solution requires a long-term voyage as we seek for solutions from our highway. And I want to commend also those people who have worked so diligently in putting the audit together. And notwithstanding all of that, and I see it as a useful and valuable tool, and it was money worth well spent, I also see it as something that has to be implemented over time. The audit specifically calls for a preservation first strategy and not a worse first strategy. But in order to do that, the audit also says we have to have the necessary tools in place, a financial planning system, a maintenance management system, a project scheduling system, and strategic performance measures in place. And I would like to ask unanimous consent, Mr. Speaker, if I may read from the governor's executive order.
Without objection, the gentleman may read.
Thank you. In quoting it, on the second page, it says, beginning January 1st, 2010, the ITD shall begin to develop a statewide plan. develop a strategic performance measure, identify requirements for a financial planning system, develop a statewide pavement management system, and also a project scheduling system and so forth. And by January 2007, this plan should be completed and everything should be in place. I would submit towards the body that we have a marathon and a long race. We need a compass and we need a roadmap in order to achieve these results that we're so see that it's upon us. And in wake of our economy, to get the best value for our highway miles, we need to have these things implemented first, which I wholeheartedly endorse. When someone goes down and applies for credit or talks with a business capitalist for financial assistance, they have to have a plan in place. They have to have measurements. They have to have everything in place so those who are willing to invest have an opportunity to say, is this a good thing to move forward with or not? And maybe it is a good idea, but if the basics aren't covered, it may not be a good thing to move forward with yet. I would submit to you, good ladies and gentlemen of the body, and I do stand in opposition to this bill, that we must first implement the systems that are with us so we can have that roadmap and that we can have the compass in place so we can get a better value on our roads. I talked with a road engineer, and things like, is it better to preserve an existing highway that's in pretty good condition, or another highway in another part of the system that has deteriorated a little bit, to let that one go a year and pick the other one and preserve it first? They don't know the answer to that because we don't have the systems to do that. I would submit to you that in the long run, if we focus and laser beam on these priorities of getting the proper systems in place and also look for other alternate solutions where we can use existing highway funds or alternate proposals, and that some of them have been voted on and approved by this body already this year, it'll go a long ways. And in the long run, over the next decade, we will get more highway for our dollar and do better in that way. In conclusion, like I said before, the audit's a very valuable tool, but it's not canonized scriptures, and there is other sources of information. We can pace ourselves. There's a good report out there that says, well, it depends on which one you read, that the highways in general in Idaho are among the best in the United States. It's not to minimize we have a problem. I'm just suggesting we can pace ourselves. And in doing so, we'll get more dollars, more value for our dollars, and more road for our dollars. And so I would encourage a red light on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from five.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the body. I rise in favor of House Bill 135A, and without repeating, I want to tell you I strongly endorse all the comments of the good gentleman from 24 as he stood and reiterated the merits and the benefits offered by this bill. One of the issues that has not been presented so far, and I think is very important to our decision on how we vote, is the fact that the new revenue that's generated here has a distribution to local entities, and certainly their needs for maintaining roads are just as severe and just as large as those of the state of Idaho, and that is a compelling reason, frankly, to vote yes on House Bill 135A. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from 14.
Mr. Speaker, members of the body, I rise to debate against this bill. And I want to make something very, very clear. I think the good lady who introduced this bill already mentioned this, but this debate has lost some perspective. We keep talking about our roads going into disrepair. We keep talking about our roads not being fixed. And this legislature is being accused of not taking care of these roads. And that's entirely inaccurate. If you look at just the money for this year that the Department of Transportation will have, They're going to have $508 million, which is an increase from last year in their budget to take care of roads. They also will receive $182 million in stimulus money and an additional $15 million in discretionary stimulus money. At this date, there's over $300 million in Garvey money that is unspent by the state, $29 million in saving from Garvey, and $82 million that we will be debating about tomorrow. So for anyone to get up here and say that we're not taking care of our roads, as we are cutting education, as we're cutting all these other programs, and for anybody to say that we're not taking care of our roads, maybe they haven't been at the meeting that I went to, because we are taking care of our roads. And the question that I have for every member of this body today is, why isn't this money that we have given to the Department of Transportation and that we're about to give to the Department of Transportation not being used for the maintenance preservation of our roads? I want you to answer that question. It's not being used because people want a tax increase to have even additional money for the Department of Transportation. And this is not the time to do that. It is not the time to raise our people's taxes just because we do not have the will to find some of this money that is already being spent on roads to use it for preservation and restoration of our roads. So I don't want to be accused of being somebody who has missed the meetings. I don't want to be accused of being somebody who doesn't understand the needs of the roads and the restoration of our roads. I am fully aware of what our needs are, and I ask you why we are not asking the Department of Transportation to take some of this money, just a small amount, whether it be $30 million, $60 million, $90 million, $120 million, and put it into the preservation of our roads and not into new road projects. Ladies and gentlemen, we spent over $500,000 on an audit last year. The audit said two simple things. It said that we first need to build less new roads in order to keep up with our investments on our roads. Second and related, it said that we needed to spend more money on preservation and restoration of our roads. Apparently, some people only read half of the audit, because the entire audit advised us that we needed to find a way to stop building some of these new roads. In fact, Mr. Speaker, if I could read from the audit.
Without objection, gentlemen may read.
Idaho should consider adopting explicit policies that do not allow new capacity projects to siphon funding from basic highway operating, maintenance, and preservation programs. New capacity projects should be rigorously and independently evaluated for cost effectiveness. This comes straight out of the audit that we have. Apparently, we don't agree. Some members of this body don't agree with that part of the audit. But if you're going to talk about the audit requiring more funding, then you need to read the entire audit, that it tells us that maybe we need to look at the way we're spending money on new roads better. And for that reason, I urge you all to vote red on this. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Lady from 35.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I actually sat here and debated with myself on whether to debate or not. And I certainly applaud.
And you won.
At least in my own mind, Mr. Speaker, I am a winner. Thanks for the support. You know, when you're in this body long enough, you do tend to turn to inspection at the end of the session. And one of the questions I always ask myself before I go home mad is, why am I here? There probably is a reason, I just haven't figured it out. So you have already heard a lot of numbers, and you've heard some reasonable attempt to justify this tax increase. It is a tax increase, and the better numbers and the better logic just came from the prior debate. But because of my tenure and because I have a tendency to be introspective, I ask myself every year before we go home, what have we accomplished? Why did we wait till the last minute? This has been out there looking over our shoulder ever since the session began, but we're just now getting to it. And why are we here? Why are we at this pass? Well, let's see. Because I have to sort things out. I have to start up here and work down, okay? So why are we at the point we are at? And yes, I'm ending with a preposition, and frankly, I don't care. Now let's see the federal government, especially, or more specifically, Congress, created the current recession, which we are still in the middle of, and the state is left to hold the bag. We like to hold bags. Now, everyone knows, and you can say maybe you don't know it, but I'm sure you do, everyone knows that increasing taxes and fees, although I had a guy at a hearing argue with me about that, fees are de facto taxes. If you raise them during a recession, you exacerbate the problem. Of course, if you're out of work and your 401k is gone, your tax burden will be considerably less, especially if you don't own property, drive a car to the unemployment line, or cut back to one meal a day. But our collective lack of wisdom is telling us to grow government by spending and increasing debt. That's relating to Garvey. We have absolute faith, however, when we do these things. We have faith in the arrival of the cavalry, but no contingency plan if we are cut off at the pass. And the stimulus money, and there is stimulus money in this bill. Picture, if you will, a rancher with a cattle prod, a police officer with a stun gun, sticking your tongue in a light socket, or accepting money from the federal government. A shock is a shock is a shock. Once again, government, be it federal or state, is ready, willing, and able to throw a drowning man a brick. Unemployment continues to climb. Gas at the pump is ratcheting back up. Our last experience at the pump prompted some personal conservation on unnecessary trips to the grocery store for serious and the mall for fun. Tax revenues fell. So I guess we need to backfill them with raising taxes. Some kind of logic there. I've never figured it out. So I'm really trying to make my congressional friends happy by considering an electric car. I live in Challis. I'm 59 miles from civilization on any four ways you leave town. If I can't get it in Challis, I got to go 59 miles to get it. And if I really need it and we don't have it in Salmon or, Missoula, then I've got to go to Idaho Falls, and occasionally I'm forced to come to Boise. That's the last resort. But anyway, so I'm speaking to you as someone who drives. That's the price I pay for the quality of life that I want, which I find in my particular locality. That's the price I pay, but I drive, and I drive, and I drive. And gas is always higher in Challis than it is in Boise and even other parts of my legislative district. I tried to figure that out one time and asked some questions and got some really weird answers, which I won't bother you with. Right there, whatever you're paying here, you can add 10 or 15 cents by the time I get home, that's what it will be. So I have a real problem with 2 cents more on the gas tax. But I'm trying to make everybody happy by considering an electric car. I'm sure you can picture me in an electric car. Or possibly a wind turbine atop my ancient Beretta. The trouble with electric is I'd have to plug it in somewhere, and with the proliferation of these little cars on the highways, that would undoubtedly create an increased demand for power generation, and the same folks that are obsessive compulsive about electric cars are the ones who want to breach the dams and prohibit drilling for oil. So I scrapped the electric car idea and got back to the gas. But on the other hand, I live in fairly close proximity to the INL, and I'm very grateful for that. Maybe I could work something out with those guys along the line of a nuclear submarine that would function out of water and on wheels. Am I being silly? No. No more silly than those who would raise taxes during a recession, even slightly, or cut jobs for some in order to save salaries for others. So in conclusion, after all my years in the legislature, I remain opposed to the big ticket items coming down session's end when citizen legislators are more easily bullied. I'm tired of limping home to lick my wounds and tell people that we raise their taxes, because those same constituents will call me to find out what in hell were we thinking of. At least I can honestly say, I don't know. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from 10.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, had that debate with myself, and weighing the constant questions and watching the good lady from 35, decided to win. This is not an easy thing to raise taxes. I didn't come here to raise taxes. And I just allow the good ladies and gentlemen to know that being a rookie and watching this journey has turned into be more of an odyssey. The good gentleman from 14 made some very good points, and I will end in addressing some of those. But I think we have to remember that we're not a state alone in the country. And when people look at Idaho, and we're right now in the business of soliciting businesses from states that are in far worse condition than we are, that they're going to look to see how we view commerce. And that also includes agriculture. And I know a little bit about agriculture. But I think that we have to show in good faith to the businesses of this country and the state that we are committed to jobs. And the economy basically is about jobs. If you don't have a job, then the economy is really a primary concern. I think this is merely a first step. $1 a month. I think that's what the good gentleman from 24 pointed out. It's merely a token at this stage of the game. And I agree that it's serious. Any tax increase is serious. But I also want to put on alert the Transportation Department and the good gentleman from the Bohr office that I've noticed a lot of discussion. Being a rookie, you listen, or you're advised to listen more than to speak. And I've heard a lot of things about disgruntlement about answers and questions sent to the Transportation Department. I think therein lies a place where a lot of solutions could occur. And over this next year, I think by taking this first step, this moderate and modest, if you will, funding of $1 a month, that we use increased scrutiny over the Transportation Department and also to encourage some solutions from that department that are adequate for Idaho. So, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, and good ladies and gentlemen, I would encourage a green light for this modest investment in commerce and agriculture, and in particular the local roads out in the country. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from 27.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't want to belabor any of the points that have been made in favor of this legislation, but I would like to bring out one or two points that I think have not been touched on. And for that, I would ask unanimous consent to set aside those parts of Rule 22 that allow us to refer to other legislation.
Further requests or objection? Hearing none, the gentleman may refer to other legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, members. As we were at a similar place last year, and was at the end of the session, and we contemplated a $68.5 million transportation package. A few things were different there, where the economy was not struggling, and you know, and a bunch of other things. And the $68.5 million, there was no magic in that number. It was a simple computation, and the computation went a lot like this. We have obligated ourselves for 4 years doing the, you know, Garvey projects. We have, that of course necessitated us taking $40 million a year out of the highway distribution account to service those bonds that that we had sold in the market. And so as you work the numbers backwards, that was the amount of money that was needed to service the Garvey bonds. And we're contemplating another installment of Garvey bonding this year. And I've always been and am a supporter of that concept for this reason. It's important that we address the congestion issues in the Treasure Valley, because that is the economic engine that drives the state. Now, there's major and significant contributions to the economic engine or out to the state's economy from other parts, but anyone that has gone into the numbers and looked at it, I mean, in the money, a majority of the money is raised in the two counties that comprise Treasure Valley. The rest of the state gets that, and we get it in spades. And so it's important that commerce, traffic, people move freely and quickly and efficiently in this valley. That's a given. Even those of us who have been accused at times to not understand how important the Treasure Valley is to the state's economy, we get that. And I'm not here to debate that. And I don't want to be reminded about that continually, because I get it. Here's the problem. We are going to contemplate here in the future another installment of Garvey funding for $82 million. We heard in debate earlier that there's 29, 27, whatever it is, left of Garvey, authorized Garvey funding on the shelf, if you will. So you put that together with the 82 and this next installment of Garvey loans that the state puts up in the market will be around $109-10 million. If the terms of the bonds are similar to the terms that we've already sold, those bonds will have an interest rate on the face of around 4.7% interest, and the average and the term of those bonds will be 18 years. Well, a simple computation back through says that we're going to obligate another $9.2 million to this service the Garvey debt. We add that on to the $40 million that we're already obligated for, and that's the issue. That's one of the reasons why I'm standing in support of this bill. That's why I've supported the other provisions. That doesn't mean that I'm tone deaf to the points that have been raised, and to the points that, you know, that will be raised in the debates to follow. But it does leave us in a dilemma of how many more years is it prudent fiscally to continue to bond without providing additional money into the highway distribution account to address that increased obligation. Now, we can continue to do that for a time. I mean, I can look at the financial statements, the balance sheets, if you will, and I think that there's more slack in the rope, I guess, if you want to use that terminology. You know, right now I think we're at 18% of our roads are in poor condition. The 18 will probably grow to 20-22% on the course that we're going. Is that a crisis? Probably not. But these types of things, you know, these large projects don't turn on a dime. And you know, so all the points that the good gentleman made from District 14 were not lost on me. I understand. I carried that budget for 4 years out of JFAC back when it was easier, with my apologies to the gentleman from 5 who I got into that job. But But the point is this, that at some point, and it may not be this year, it may not be next year, but at a certain point we're going to have to address this issue, because we cannot continue to obligate ourselves to a stream of future payments without replenishing that money. And it has a consequence in the maintenance of our roads, in the day-to-day operations at ITD, whether those are, whatever they are. And so that's my point, Mr. Speaker, that I would make lightly. I understand the positions of the people that have spoken and those that have not spoken. I understand those positions, but I think at a certain point, our actions of the past must dictate our actions in the future, and that they're you can't have it both ways forever. And so with that, Mr. Speaker, I'll sit down. Thank you.
One from three.
Mr. Speaker, I rise in opposition to House Bill 135 as amended. The interesting thing about all of this debate, I believe, is some of the comments, I think, that are being made. I just heard that we need to address the issue. I agree with that. There is a problem out there. And do you honestly think that this bill addresses the issue? Just a couple comments, and some are classic. Support this piddly little bill. It's a softie. It'll fix one pothole. It's still a tax increase. And I'm not a rookie, so I could probably say that. I'm not a rookie. But if you look at this bill today and you pass this 1 cent out of here, I want you to close your eyes and think about what it's going to look like when it comes from the other side of the rotunda. Do you think it's going to be passed, or do you think it's going to be amended and add something to it? What do you think, a nickel, a dime, 15 cents, 20 cents? What's going to be added to it to make it a real good, strong tax increase? It's going to come over here. We're going to either concur or non-concur, and then we could end up in a conference committee. I've got a record of being the last two legislators who were on the last two, I'm sorry, the last legislator who were on the last two conference committees. Last year and one other time on a tobacco tax bill that's funding the Capitol renovation. We lose in those conference committees. And when we lose, your taxes are going to go up. It's a terrible time to raise taxes. I agree. We've got a problem. This doesn't solve the problem. With that, I would appreciate your no vote.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from 20.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had the same argument in my mind about whether I wanted to debate or not, and unfortunately I lost. our audit told us very clearly that we shouldn't and continue to throw good money after bad. Our audit told us very clearly that we're doing a worst first scenario in taking care of our roads. Our audit told us very clearly that we needed to take some type of aggressive action to have a review factor and formula in all the new construction that we built. And we've not done any of that thus far. This bill puts into place some criteria of where we spend our highway dollars. The gentleman in the Borough Building has signed an executive order that basically outlines everything that was identified in our audit that says needs to be done. And with a timeline. The good gentleman from 27 brought up some very valid points. There's been quite a number of people in this body who've voted for Garvey in the past. And if you've voted for Garvey in the past, you have voted to pay for that service debt of those bonds that we have borrowed. We pay that service debt back every year. And when we pay that service debt back, that comes out of the fuel taxes that you and I paid this morning to come to this session. And as we continue to vote for Garvey, as we continue our Garvey projects and building our infrastructure, we're increasing that service debt. As we increase that service debt, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is the highway distribution account, the funding for the Department of Transportation, isn't a block of money that we give out of our budget. It's a spending authorization. They have to make the money or get the money into that highway distribution account before they can spend it. The current money that they're getting into that account is being so sucked up by Garvey bonds, that service debt for those bonds, that we're no longer able to put that $50 million a year onto our roads, onto preservation and maintenance. And then when you tack on to that, the subsidies that we're paying $6 million out of that highway distribution account now into the Department of Transit, or into the Division of Motor Vehicles, in their antiquated 1980s IBM computer system, where they've got Fortran and COBOL programmers to take care of that system. That system is so antiquated, we have to subsidize that division by $6 million a year. We're pulling $6 million out of that highway distribution account that should go to fixing those potholes just to keep DMV running. So we're pulling money out for DMV, we're pulling money out for service debt for Garvey bonds. At the same time, last year, the year before that, we approved Garvey bonds, increasing that service debt. And we're going to again talk about it this year. And every time we increase that service debt, we pull money off of the roads. We pull money away from asphalt. We have to stop and start to put money back into that kitty if we want to continue to preserve our infrastructure. We have got to do that. As the good gentleman said, that you can't have a free ride both ways. Nobody in his body wants to raise taxes. But we've come to a point where we have to keep this department whole. We've got problems. There's no question we've got problems in this department. But as all of you know, we're on a big ship. The state is a big ship, and turning this ship takes a lot of time. Unfortunately, you and I are passengers, and the crew knows that. So we've got to get the crew's mindset to change the way that it's doing business and head towards sunnier waters. And that takes time. And we've got to get them a little bit more funds to keep the ship moving and fix the problems that we have. There's some good bills out there that I see in the future that will help resolve these issues. But today, we need to keep that ship running. And I would really urge your support for this 2-cent increase. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Hearing none, would the good lady from 35 care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your debate. Mr. Speaker, the people of the state of Idaho who trust us to look at their circumstances and make decisions, look to this house. This house is the voice of the people. I believe in this system, Mr. Speaker. Debate is closed.
Debate is closed. Question is, shall House Bill 135 as amended pass? The clerk will unlock the machine and the members will record their votes. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will lock the machine and record the roll. There are four pairs at the desk. Representative Jarvis votes aye. Representative Shepherd, 8, votes nay. Representative Nonini votes nay. Representative Shirley votes aye. Representative Schaefer votes nay. Representative Black votes aye. Representative Shepherd, 2, votes No. Representative Higgins votes aye. Roll call shows 32 aye, 37 nay, 1 absent and excused. Less than a majority having voted in the affirmative, House Bill 135 as amended has failed to pass the House and will be filed in the office of the Chief Clerk.